い。
All right, thank you. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 13, please. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. And always enjoy the announcements here at Hiles Anderson, and great time. Glad I'm not a student anymore, but who knew you had to go to class to pass? And I should have learned that one as well. But it's good to be here. Thank you for those of you that are new to Hiles Anderson. Thank you for choosing our college. It's an honor to have you. Many of you I got to meet on the road the last few years and traveling with tour groups. And it's good to see you here sitting in chapel today, and good to see you here opening day. And I believe in this college. I believe in what we're about. I believe in our mission statement. I believe in First Baptist Church of Hammond. I want to challenge you to get involved in the ministry, work in the nursery, work on bus routes, get involved, get to meet the people. Don't just make it a church away from home. Make it your home. And you say, well, I have a home church. That's fine. What'll happen is you'll learn to be vested in wherever you go. Wherever God puts you, you'll learn to get involved. So one of the differences between graduates from our colleges and other colleges is that our students will tend to get involved in wherever they're at. And they'll volunteer for just about anything except the military. And I want you to look in Genesis chapter 13, please. And of course, again, a familiar story. And I want you to follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 5. And of course, this is the story of Abraham and Lot, and just Lot becoming an incredible businessman and the herdsman of Lot and Abraham, their cattle and prosperity began to grow. And verse 5, it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right hand. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other." Let's pray, and we'll jump into the message this morning. Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for this school. Thank you for these young people, and I pray that you'll bless their time here. I do pray for their parents and their brothers and sisters at home as they are learning to live, especially with those freshmen that are here, to live without them at this time. And as time goes on, a little homesick begins to set in. But I pray that you'd give them grace while they're here, help them be engaged in what goes on, help them to enjoy the chapel messages from here on, and also the church services to come. I pray that you bless us now at this hour. In your name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22, if you would, please. While you're turning, hold your place there. I'm going to jump right into it. Lot and Abraham had lived together, basically, and both had become great men of business skills. And Lot began to perform admirably, and his cattle became great. And there came a strife there. There came a division. There started to get hurt feelings and things of that nature. And Abraham wisely said, this division, I think, was scriptural. I think it's something that should have happened. We want to criticize Lot for taking the well-watered plains. That's a different story. But the separation here, I think, was what God wanted. But Abraham, being the gentleman, gave Lot his choice, and Lot, being an eager young businessman, very savvy, chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. The Bible says it was like into the land of Eden. It was just a beautiful piece of property. And you got to admit, in the lifestyle of businessmen, it was a savvy business deal. If Donald Trump was there, he would have said, wow, this guy should have written the book, The Art of the Deal. This was great. This guy is my hero. But what Lot failed to do was Lot failed to see the future. He failed to look ahead. And I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 22. Boy, this is an important verse and passage, rather, for us to look at. Look at verse 3, if you would, please. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. I want you to read that with me again. Ready? Verse 22, and read just verse 3 with me. Ready? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, if that's the only verse in the Bible, you know, apart from verses about going to heaven, you tell you what, you could live a victorious Christian life. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on. The word simple there is basically somebody that's looking at the day, somebody that's just looking for a good time, somebody that has not learned what it means to have wisdom or able to foresee things down the road. A child. It's exactly what it's talking about. A child. Somebody that has not matured enough into a place to be able to look at something and say good, bad, and different. He just sees it, looks fun, let's do it. Let's do it. What's it going to cost? Let's do it. Am I going to get in trouble? Let's do it. Can I afford it? Let's do it. That's a simple person. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. Most of you are simple. All right? And some of you are getting simpler. I was very simple in college as well. And the object for us is to help you to come into a place to where you have not just got an education in numbers and in history and things of that nature, but got an education in how to foresee the future. Look in verse 4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think our job as adults is to help children to grow up and foresee the evil. Now, yes, we will teach them to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and to have manners and to have skills, but what this passage is talking about. It's talking about how they're going to deal with life. How they're going to handle the hardships. Okay, you know what? As simple as it was, go to class. And many of you, you're here and you've paid a lot of money to go to school, but you'd much rather be someplace else, so you go someplace else. All right? There are so many things. We have a lot of, safety lessons around here. Our workman comp years ago was outrageous. The accidents on the job stuff was just ridiculous. And about 12 years ago, I guess, or maybe longer, we put in some policies and procedures, and we then have every few weeks a safety lesson given to our staff and faculty. If you work here as a student, you're going to hear safety lessons. Brother Sparks or somebody will get up in our meetings and will read a lesson. Usually he gets laughed at. because they're so simple. But there are reasons why. I'll give you a few reasons, and these are actual things that have happened, okay? A college cleaner who sprayed her own eye with bleach because she had the squirt bottle turned around backwards. Now, the key word there is not the word backwards. The key word is college. Right? You know, this she didn't ride the short bus to college, okay? You know, she got it wrong, all right? Simple. Oh, this is a good one, too. The bus driver. How many bus drivers? Raise your hand. All right. The bus driver who hit 6 cars on a narrow street in Chicago because he said, I wasn't sure I could get through, so I just hit the gas and drove as fast as I could. So to be a bus driver, you have to be at least 21. That's the key thought there. And it's like he never took physics and realized that buses don't squeeze in the faster they go. This is a simple one. The lady who broke her ankle on a snowy morning while wearing stiletto heels and coming in the only entrance that had not been cleared of snow. All right? And this is this is a good one. I was here on this one. I didn't do it, but I was here. I caused it, but I didn't do it. Repelling from the ceiling of the Jack Hiles Auditorium in a skit from a rope without justifying the distance to the platform accurately. I was sitting on this side, and I watched him hit the floor, the stairs, and Brother Hiles about had a heart attack right then and there. And all of a sudden, Brother Hiles said, oh, no, he hit it hard, and I was just stunned. And so was he. But and he stands up, and he was groggy, and he's standing there, and he's holding his weapon because it was a Moses and the Ten Commandos skit. And so then he comes up on the platform, and he's standing right there, and right in front of Brother Hiles and right in front of me. And Brother Hiles leans over and says, I think he's okay. I said, yeah, I think he's fine. And all of a sudden, the guy just went, boom, and fell at my feet and passed out. So because of stuff like that, we have safety lessons. And these are guidelines. And they're off. I'll give you a few because they're really trite, but you'll kind of understand. One is, knives are sharp and will cut you. You say, well, wait a minute. Every faculty member that hears that, they're a college graduate. They teach here. You got to tell them that? Yeah. Yeah. Or a broken glass will cut you. That seems simple enough, right? You can fall on wet floors. That's good. And this is one of my favorites. Furnace closets are for furnaces, not for storage for paint and paint thinner. So somebody, you know, was thinking, I've got paint thinner to store. I need someplace warm. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But we give those out because these are things that we find. And when we mention them, you know, it really causes us to think, well, how stupid is that? That's what we want you to think because it is stupid. I'll give you my favorite, though. Do not change a light bulb or reach for high objects while standing on a swivel chair. That's my personal favorite. Not personal experience, but I do watch a lot of YouTube on those falls right there because they are funny. You see educated people, you see secretaries, you see executives standing on swivel chairs, changing a light bulb, and then going feet first. It's really enjoyable to watch and laugh at. But definitely causes workman comp issues. Bad decisions are sometimes cute and funny and or dangerous, but they are always, 100%, they're always costly. They're costly. And if you cannot learn to foresee the evil, you're going to pay out in life in a lot of ways that you don't want to. You're going to cheat your family. You're going to cheat your spouses. You're going to cheat your jobs and your bosses and the people that you serve because you do not know how to make good decisions. There are those who seem to make mostly good decisions in their lives. Not everybody makes perfect ones. They marry well. They're successful in business. their finances are in order. They would be considered by some wealthy, but they are happy. You've seen those kind of folks. And that's all because they learned how to foresee the evil. They learned to look down the road and see what makes a good, what's a good decision and what's a bad decision. Others can't seem to get out of their own way sometimes. They go from one bad decision to another. Married multiple times, multiple jobs, financial debt. And you say, well, anybody in financial debt is there because of foolish decisions? No. Because there are a lot of things that happen in life that will cause that. But you'll find that most people who are, it's because they were foolish at some point in time. There are always enough difficult days coming in our lives that we have no control over. There are car accidents that are going to happen that we could not avoid. There are things or sicknesses that are going to come our way. There are hurts that are going to happen in our lives that we did not cause. We could not avoid. They were of none fault of ours. That's going to happen. That's called life. So without you and I being foolish to add to that, we can endure those things. But when we heap piles of rocks upon the heavy load that we will carry one day, and we wonder why life is so miserable, it's because we have spent our lives foolishly making decisions. And here's the thing. We tend to get better and better at the things we're good at. And if you're good at being foolish, you'll get better and better at living with foolishness. It's why guys can get married 4 and 5 times and still, you know, act like nothing's wrong. They get good at it. I was fishing with some men from our church last week, and the caretaker of the property we were staying at had lost his left arm in a car accident as a child. This guy could do anything. He was a woodsman, a hunter, a fisherman. He could build. He could run a chainsaw one-handed. That's crazy, but he can. If you've ever run a chainsaw, I can't imagine doing it one-handed. Greg Pine was watching me. He said, Vic, and how do you get so much done with just one hand? He goes, I've been doing it so long, I don't know how people with two hands get things done. Because he got so good at just using one hand. And people who have made mistakes over and over, they run their businesses consistently, and they do okay. They never get to levels they could have gotten because they got good at just living through mistakes from one catastrophe to another. Instead of implementing procedures and policies and reading safety reports, even though people chuckle and make fun of them, it's gotten our finances to a wonderful state to where we can afford workman comp, we can afford insurance, and we can have some better things. And look at Lot. What a fantastic businessman he was. This man was a genius when it came to business. And again, any businessman today would be proud to know him. But throughout his business prowess, he decides to choose a property and choose a place to live and a lifestyle that cost him everything. Anyone who has sustained a long Christian life and testimony works hard at foreseeing the evil, because it's not easy. You're going to have to look ahead and see the pitfalls. You're going to have to think of the future instead of the present. We want to act in the now instead of looking down the road and seeing, look at the past and seeing what happened before and trying to figure it out and getting advice. And I promise you today, and it's not a prosperity gospel message, but I promise you this, you will live a successful life in every area if you learn to foresee the evil. If you learn to spend your life not making obvious bad decisions, obvious bad, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to trip on uneven pavement. You're going to slip on ice, things that you can't see. But there are enough obvious things that are before you, the chapel messages and the admonitions of others and the availability of advice from those who watch for your soul. That's out there for you to help you see it and train yourself for it. You say, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we foresee the evil? I'm going to give you four quick things, and I'll be on my way today. Number one, let Scripture light the way. Let Scripture light the way. I preached on this before. I won't belabor it today, but Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my what? And a light unto my path. Very simple verse in Psalms 119. But it says this. It says the word of God, the Bible, is a lamp unto thy feet. It shows me where I am, what I am, who I am. And a light unto my path. It shows me what's before me. It shows me what's coming. It shows me where I'm going. It shows me direction. And the word of God will place inside of you an ability through the Holy Spirit to help you understand when something just isn't right. And I can go back. I was talking to Brother Wes Wilson this morning. He asked me what I was preaching, and I told him. He said, you know, I remember. He said, I remember as a sophomore in high school, I was in a Christian school, and I remember a certain guy, he was funny, he was delightful, and he wanted to hang around me, and I got to hang around him, but there was something in the pit of my stomach that said, this is not a good guy. He said, I couldn't explain it, I just something inside of me was telling me this wasn't right. He goes, and I parted ways. And you know, but a matter of time, that kid got into so much trouble and got kicked out of school, and it would have been detrimental to me. And listen to me, young people, you are going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through the Word of God. And by your spending time and getting in touch with the Word of God to where you're willing to hear it. And he's going to say, that person you're dating, it's just not right. Good kid, but not right for you. Hey, that car load you're driving to work with, not right. You'd be better off walking. I'm not saying that, and I don't know any stories whatsoever. But I'm just telling you, I've been around here long enough to know that God has given some of you that ability to be able to see the evil. Use it. Use that ability. And the rest of you, you need to learn it. Spend time in your Bible. It's not just about reading a few verses in the morning. It's getting in tune with God's voice. Number two, acquire the leadership of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned in Psalm 16:7, says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Very important passage. David finds out that, you know what, when he stops and listens to the things of God, that when things are going right, God will instruct me. God will help me. And these are things that you ought to ask. You ought to be in prayer about on who you should date and what you should take and where you should work and who you should sit with in chapel and all these things that I've got plenty of personal stories I don't have time to get into today, but trust me, the Holy Spirit can help you foresee the evil. He knows what's there. He knows what's out there, and he wants to help. Number three, be more acquainted with the holy things than you are with the sinful pleasures. Be more acquainted with holiness than you are with sinful pleasures. If sinful pleasures don't make you uncomfortable, you have been too close to sin. If people can cuss around you and say all manner of filthy things and it not bother you, you've been around it too much. If dirty jokes and off-color things can light you up all the time and not even prick your heart, you've been around it too much. If you don't get uneasy around the cussing at work, you know what? That's a good thing if you do. You ought to be uneasy around it. You ought to be uneasy around sin. As Brother Wilkerson often says, God never thought one sin was ever funny. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, you ought to be looking at the things of righteousness and the youthful lust. That word there, lust there, is a longing for the forbidden, whether it's morality-wise, sexual-wise, or just things that are wrong. Things that look enjoyable and fun today, that's part of youth. These are things that you will have issues with, and a lot of it has to do with music, a lot of it has to do with sexuality, a lot of it has to do with the culture of your generation. But the truth is, the Bible says don't just walk with it, it says flee it. Flee it. Stay away from it so that righteousness is commonplace. Righteousness, the holy things, the holy people, people that dwell in righteousness, you're comfortable around them. You're uncomfortable around the lustful. Be more acquainted with holiness than you are with sinful pleasures. And number four, let your principles be your guide. Psalm 16:6, the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The word heritage means lifestyle. The parameters that you set, and look at me and listen to me carefully, every eye on me right now, every eighth grader over at Hammond Baptist High School and at City Baptist School right now has enough knowledge of the Word of God to set the parameters for the rest of their life. You definitely know. You definitely know. There's enough Bible in you today. If you never read another word, you know enough Bible to make parameters for your life that'll seed with you and settle you the rest of your life. Make them. Because if you don't, you will become like everything else you're around. You will be a chameleon and blend into whatever wall you're standing next to. You'll become like every crowd that wants you to enjoy their company. Unless you make yourself what you're supposed to be, set your guidelines, decide your principles, decide what you're going to do, decide your morality, decide your dating standards, decide your dress standards, decide how you're going to live, decide your doctrine now. You know what? That will help you to step over the evil and because you've seen it. Because it's uncomfortable to you. One of the best things Brother Wilkerson said, and I've heard him say it about music, and he said it shortly after he came here. He said that, he goes, one of the things I think is wrong, the main thing wrong with contemporary Christian music is that it grieves my spirit. And I heard that, I said, that is a brilliant statement. The fact that he walks with God and he has the Holy Spirit's power upon him, and all of a sudden that music grieves him. You say, well, it doesn't grieve me, it inspires me. Well, if I had a choice between picking Brother Wilkerson walking with the Lord or you, I'm choosing him. Those are choices you have to make. You have to make those. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's talking about getting saved. Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You need to spend your time here, young people, watching the mistakes of others and go a different direction. How do I live right? How do I do right? Watch the idiots before you. Every rule in your handbook was made by an idiot that came here before you did. Learn from their mistakes. Use the people that watch for your souls. We give account. Run it by somebody. Just run up by him. Say, hey, listen, I'm thinking about dating this person. Hey, I'm thinking about working here. Hey, I'm thinking about buying this. I'm thinking about going here. You know, what do you think? And focus on living a righteous, focus on leaving a righteous history for yourself. Let people see that the steps that you made throughout your lifetime were holy steps. Steps worth following. An imprint that is worthy of your children and grandchildren, those in your churches. Lot looked at his present, not his future. Hey, I want that property. When he probably should have gone to Abraham and said, hey, listen, I know you've given me first choice and I appreciate it. Which one do you think I should have? Why don't you choose first and I'll take what's left? He should have gotten and said, let me pray, let me take God. And not only did he choose the well-watered plains for his cattle and the growth of his business, but the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wasn't choosy where he lived either. He pitched towards the city that was vile, that was wicked. A city where he almost threw his daughters to the mob. And when he saw at the end, he saw a wife of salt, his wealth gone, his daughters who had just raped him. Well-watered plains didn't look so hot anymore. Adrian Rogers said the other day on the radio, he said, I've never met a senior citizen that lived a lustful youth ever happy. I've never met a senior citizen that lived a lustful, wicked youth ever happy. And he said, you know, you look at Lot here. No doubt in my mind, the decision he made back with Abraham many years before, he's thinking, boy, I'd taken the other property. I wish I had given Abraham first choice. Everything that he'd worked for, everything that he loved, everything that was his was gone. Foresee the evil, young people. Learn it. Learn it. You're not good at it yet. You're not good at it. But you can acquire that vision. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon us now. Help us all over the next few months and weeks to become better at seeing the things that Satan puts in front of us. Lord, we cannot see the things behind us and the things that happen in life, but you do. And you'll help us with those. We don't want to heap things on us that we're causing just by inflicting our own wounds. Help us to be just wise and careful, mindful, always abounding in prayer, asking for your guidance and help. And God, this message is as much for me as it is for any student in this room tonight. I pray that you use it now. In your name we pray.